All right, John, we've heard the buzz for the upcoming Lions season. A lot of it has centered around Jameson Williams. John Morton, the new OC earlier this offseason.
Breakout year.
And go, well, what do you mean breakout year? He had 1,000 yards last season. What more is there? And they're very confident there's more to unlock with JMO, to the point where Dan Campbell joined in on the chorus of praise. Huge season, sky's the limit, going to be big for us. John, again, what does that look like? Define a huge season, and what does he need to do to justify a long-term extension here in Detroit?
So some of these comments are, I think, are interesting as we have this conversation. You know, they're having that conversation as well. You know, pick up the fifth year. Okay, fine. Yeah, we got control of him for the next 2 years. He's only entering his fourth. And in a world where we are talking about Ragnow, Anzalone, Hutchinson, all of these guys that are up for contract extensions, we've touched on many times J-Mo's contract. Is he going to be here long term? What does breakout mean? When John Morton said that, we thought that. Now all of a sudden, Dan Campbell saying sky is the limit. He's right where we want him to be. He's going to be huge for this offense.
It's felt like he's the odd man out when it comes to guys that you're going to keep versus not going to keep. But if he puts together the season they keep talking about, so does that change the equation?
They're putting it out there. And some of the pressure is to put pressure on JMO. These are the expectations. I'm sure they've had these conversations with him. They had it in exit meetings. This is what we expect in the offseason. This is what we expect going into next year. Now they're publicly putting those expectations on him as well. If he lives up to those, first of all, what does that mean? But if he lives up to it where he is a dynamic receiver, a guy that you feel like you can't live without, then there's a world where they do extend him and they keep him along with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Cap's going to continue to go up. There's going to be opportunity for that to happen. Now, it will limit other things that they can do, but if he doesn't live up to and doesn't have the quote-unquote breakout year, it's not better than he had last year by a large margin. That's what breakout means. If he doesn't reach that limit in the sky that Dan Campbell has set,
then it's easier to part ways.
Publicly, yeah.
Yeah. So what is this year? Is it 1,500 yards? He has to be better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has to catch double-digit touchdowns. He has to lap Laporta to the point where Laporta's expendable. Like, what does it look like where he has the year they're talking about and says, I'm here long-term?
It's really hard to put those numbers on what that means because we really have no idea because there are so many weapons in this offense. There's only one football. And I asked you this at the break as we were preparing for this segment. Is this the most complete skill position roster in the NFL?
Yeah, we were trying to come up with names on the fly, and I said, yeah, I think it is. Unless I mean, I'm missing somebody.
You could make an argument somewhat for Philly.
Philly with Brown, Smith, Barkley.
Yeah. But
they don't have two backs. They don't have a tight end as good as Laporta.
Right. So if you've got Gibbs, who's going to get a lot of touches, and I expect to get more touches, not just handoff, but also some trick plays and in the air. David Montgomery, Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then throw in some of the other, you know, receivers in terms of Tim Patrick. We know he's going to get some touches. Isaac Tisla, who was Brad Holmes' favorite receiver in this draft, he'll get some touches. I look at it and go, how much more opportunity will J-Mo have?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's almost like they're setting him up to not get extended by putting the bar so high that he can't possibly, with all the other weapons in this offense, he can't possibly have the season that he needs to justify a long-term extension. So they're kind of saying, hey, we believe in you publicly. We're going to give you all the opportunity, knowing there's no way this guy's doing 1,500 yards in an offense with two real backs. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a number one. And a Laporta guy who, by the way, I think could regain some of his rookie season form now that he's healthy. The answer is he's not going to earn a long-term extension. Is that the takeaway from this?
That's what it feels like. It feels like if he doesn't have that breakout season, if he is not he's not in the stratosphere, whatever that is for sky is the limit, then it's an easier letdown to trade him, to not extend him, to let him walk, because how many other offenses have two dynamic receivers?
And the Bengals just did it.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins.
But to what point now are they running into?
Right.
Yeah. They can't pay their edge rushers. Or they don't want to.
So that's, I think, the question that is going to be had is he going to be worth what they would eventually have to pay him? Or if setting this bar high and if he gets there, now you find a way for great players.
So let's play a scenario out. I think he would need to have more than 1,500 yards. Maybe St. Brown gets hurt for a couple games and it opens up the window. Maybe J-Mo has a couple big playoff games, right? That tends to hold a little more weight. What if he has a 200-yard playoff game to beat the Eagles? He has an end-around touchdown and he catches two balls of over 40 yards for scores. Like, I mean, are those the things where you go, shoot, we can't lose this guy. Sorry, Sam Laporta is not getting an extension. Brian Branch is not getting an extension. Like, are those conversations at that point?
Yeah, well, you look at the schedule and you're going to be on the road playing some big-time teams. Matching up offense versus offense. And I know there's going to be a lot of attention paid to defense and the edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson and, you know, trying to corral those quarterbacks. But if you're able to win shootouts because you have Jameson Williams, who opens up, who blows the top off of a defense, and then you're still getting the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Gibbs and Montgomery and Laporta and all these other guys. But if you come out of those with wins, and it is in large part because you have the ability to just blow the top off of a defense or stretch a defense sideline to sideline because you've got the speed of Jahmyr Gibbs as well as reverses and trick plays to J-Mo. That's where you start looking at it going, okay, well, we can't lose him.
248-539-9797. What does J-Mo need to do to justify an extension? You hear Dan Campbell say the sky is the limit and they expect a huge season from him. What does that look like, and what does it need to be for him to be part of this beyond this year and the fifth year? 248-539-9797. The other thing you kind of alluded to, John, is the moving pieces, the puzzle pieces, the salary cap. Frank Ragnow is reportedly unhappy with his deal. Alex Anzalone, not practicing, unhappy with his deal. How big a deal is that?
It's not a big deal right now.
Because it's June?
Well, because it's early June. It's guys that are under contract. It's guys that are consummate professionals. And if they miss OTAs, it might actually be an advantage for a guy like Frank Ragnow. It's not extra reps. But the disadvantage is he's not there next to Tate Ratledge. He's not there next to Christian Mahogany, making those calls, getting those reps, building that relationship that you got to have on that offensive line. But for him, it's not a big deal. He is tried and true.
Yeah, but it's a big deal if it lingers. It's a big deal if because they're both underpaid,
yes.
Right? Specifically, Alex Anzalone is significantly underpaid, making $6 million this season. He could justifiably argue for twice that salary.
Right.
And he's not practicing right now. It would stand to reason he would sit out the ramp up to the season waiting for a contract extension. Now, Frank's situation's different. He's still top five in his position in terms of salary. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Like, Frank, we'll talk to you in a year. I mean, guys don't get signed 2 years early unless they're on a rookie deal.
But part of his may not be more money. It might just be more guarantee.
Okay.
He's not guaranteed this year. He's not guaranteed next year. So you can add a year. And so he's got 3 years, or you can even add 2 years. So he's got 4 years, but you give him some more guaranteed money.
Kind of fake years.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a huge jump in pay because he's already accounting for a big chunk of, or at least for the center position, a chunk of the salary cap. This year, the cap hits $14 million. Next year, it's in essence $16 million.
Yeah.
So if you jump those numbers up a couple of million dollars, but it is guaranteed money. I think that's really where Frank's issue is. For Alex Anzalone, last year of his contract and grossly underpaid. So it's more money. For Frank, it may just simply be, hey, I want a couple more guarantees. I'm putting my body on the line. I played with a torn pec. I've been playing with this foot injury that even though I've been productive, I've been one of the best centers, it's extremely painful. I don't know how much longer I can do this, so I do want some guarantees in my contract if I'm going to keep putting my body through this.
I want to tiptoe around Mission Impossible style so I don't trip off the Smarm alarm. this is why windows exist. Despite what Brad Holmes has publicly stated, this is why windows exist, because you have your current draft crop that you have to extend, and now you have veterans who have performed, delivered, and are leaders who don't like leaving money on the table. This is why there are windows. This whole group can't stay together forever, and tough decisions are coming, and they're going to get forced into tough decisions by veteran players who will say, I won't practice. We're chasing a Super Bowl. Are you really going to have me not out there?
And this is where if we talk about the culture that the organization has right now, the culture that is in the locker room, what type of a culture hit would it be if after this season, and they say, hey, Frank, you know what? We'll give you a little more guarantee this year, but we're going to have to make this decision next offseason. And then they move on from a player like Frank Ragnow. What does that do to the culture of the locker room?
Are your green dot linebacker on defense? I know Jack Campbell's waiting in the wings, but you have both right now, and you'd only have one after this season.
You can't keep everybody. I mean,
I know, that's the point.
But you don't. It's not windows, though, if you're good.
No, it's a window with this group. It's a window with this group.
The Chiefs, yeah, I know. Well,
and the next group is unknown. The next group's unknown. You can't tell me they already have the next group. We don't know that.
But the Chiefs did.
Okay, so we have Patrick Mahomes.
They traded Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Okay? Kelsey's a dinosaur now.
Yes.
And they're still winning and getting to Super Bowls. You know, the Eagles, they retooled. Look how much different their team is. I mean, if you want to go back to the full Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, but even the one that made it 2 years ago.
But what
you
got to
be
done?
Good at your job. Yes. You got to pick which ones to sign and which not. And Anzalone, I'm sorry. Guess what? You were the best of the first initial guys brought in here to change the culture. You came right from New Orleans with Campbell. You improved your play. I called him just a whatever linebacker a couple years ago. He has played well here, and I'll give him credit for that. But you got to say bye to some guys. It's a position that you say bye to. You don't pay that position. You already paid Barnes. You're going to have to pay Campbell. You drafted the guy to Campbell.
Yeah.
You know, you got Rodrigo, who still has shown signs of being able to play this game.
Yep.
So, sorry, if you want to threaten to hold out, I'll call your bluff. You're not Chris Jones, and you're not going to have that impact. This is where it gets ugly.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because right now it's no big deal. If it lingers into August, then it starts to get ugly. 248-539-9797. We have Campbell Audio talking about those two guys, by the way. We'll mix that in, plus what he said about J-Mo. Your ticket, text, and phone calls, it's 97.1.
Hey, summer's almost here, and if you look at the weather app, it looks like summer will officially be here tomorrow. Things are going to heat up. Don't wait. If you need work on the AC unit, give Mastercraft Heating a call right now. Whatever you need, call them. Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They took care of my house. They continue to take care of my house. They'll take care of yours as well. Upgrade your system now, and you can save up to $1,000. Call for details and schedule a free in-home estimate. They also offer same-day service as long as you call before noon. Want more information? You can find it on the web at MastercraftHeating.com. That's MastercraftHeating.com.
Dan Campbell talking about Jameson Williams. Sky's the limit. Huge season. We said, well, what does that look like? And could he earn a long-term extension? What would it take? Texter says the first thing he has to do, play the entire season. Tex says he needs to have at least one breakout play of 30-plus yards per game, plus 3 to 4 catches a game. His big playability is his game, Travis and Warren.
And that might be what it is. I had somebody text me that it's not about the total number of yards or catches or even touchdowns.
Moments.
The number of explosive plays.
Regarding J-Mo, I don't think the Lions are going to pay him what he's looking for unless he becomes a leader both on and off the field. The team culture is grit, high character, and built around player leaders who reflect the mindset and actions of the coaching staff. As long as he acts like an individual off the field, the less likely he is to get the big contract. He'll be the whipped cream and the cherry, but not the ice cream and the chocolate sauce building an elite franchise.
Oh, the chocolate sauce.
I like a Sunday analogy. Says, we're too hard on J-Mo. It's rare to have a receiver that can do everything that he does and isn't the diva. He looks like he wants to have fun out there. If we send him to another team, he'll go crazy and we'll regret it. You can't keep everybody, guys.
Well, but here's the thing is, if you send him to another team, he'll most likely be their number one receiver.
Yeah.
He's not the number one target right now.
He'd have to become the number one here to really enter the conversation about a long-term deal. I knew J-Mo wasn't Lions material from the moment he was suspended for gambling. In my opinion, good riddance. We don't need the distraction. look, I'm going to enjoy having him on our football team for at least the upcoming season. I like having him on this football team.
I like him on the team as well. And there are certain positions, wide receiver being one of them, where you are willing to put up with some more quote-unquote diva actions where, you know, you get to the sidelines and you flip the ball into an opponent's face and it requires a 15-yard
penalty. When I love that Randall L. was getting on him, like that they're coaching him, that they're trying to get the most out of him. And look, I could see a world where he does have a career year, but I don't know if he's going to justify an extension. I think the writing's kind of on the wall here. I mean, we're already dealing with, well, Frank wants more money and Anzalone wants more money and Hutch needs an extension and Branch will be eligible next year for an extension. And it's going to happen very quickly that you're going to run out of money.
Yes, but here's what I like is there's time. It doesn't have to be done now. You're not going to give him a contract extension before this season begins. You can have this conversation next offseason as to whether or not you need to trade him to get something, compensation for him or pay him.
I said we had Dan Campbell audio talking about Alex Anzalone and Frank Ragnow, both, quote, unhappy with their contracts. This was Campbell. Couple texts on these guys. Both will be there when it's mandatory. Texter says, Alex Anzalone has to realize this is his last year here. Barnes got paid. Campbell will be paid in 26. This is it for Anzalone. And a texter says, putting your wallet before the team is not what this culture is about. Anyone holding out, I would trade ASAP.
No. No. Hard no. It's okay to have these conversations. It's okay to go to your boss and say, I think I'm worth more than you're paying me right now.
I think
it happens and it happened. Here's the thing that gives you hope is whether it's Dan Campbell, really, it's more Dan Campbell. The open conversations of having those, honest conversations of having those, that's all you want as a player. It's just have an honest conversation with me. Marty Schottenheimer was great at having those honest conversations. Whether you liked it or not, you knew exactly where he stands. And I guarantee you, every single player, whether it's one of the 53 that's back from last year, it's somebody who is 95 on the roster right now, they know exactly where they stand with Dan Campbell. And that is of great value.
All right, guys, 8:50, end of the hour. We're going to get into Tarek Skubal. He threw 90 pitches and was pulled on Saturday. People got thoughts on that. We'll get to it. John, you asked me how my weekend was. Tale of two restaurants. We'll get to that at 8:35. First, Heather with the news.
So a luxury hotel is coming to Michigan Central Station. So the top five floors of the historic train station will soon be home to Nomad Hotel. It's described as Hilton's first luxury lifestyle hotel in the U.S. Oh. It'll include almost 180 hotel rooms with 30 suites. It says guests can expect luxury wellness facilities and additional amenities. Obviously, more to come in the future. It's expected to open in 2027.
Cool.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, what's so cool is to think just, I don't know, not long ago, this place was left
empty,
in shambles.
Ghost town.
Yes,
yeah.
And now it is turning into this beautiful, thriving location. So it's very exciting to see. To honor the memory of Hannah St. Juliana and the other victims of the Oxford High School shooting, Hannah's Garden officially opened to the public on Sunday. So hundreds of people gathered for the official ribbon cutting ceremony, where obviously members of the community remembered the four victims. But the garden includes a water feature. There's lots of the color purple. That was Hannah's favorite color. Elements that represent her Japanese heritage. And then, of course, there's things within the garden that represent each of the victims. It says there's blueberry bushes for Tate Meir, butterfly figurines for Madison Baldwin, and bushes that feed pollinators for Justin Schilling. So
cool.
Yeah, very, very nice, without a doubt. On Friday, a man wielding a knife barricaded himself inside of a gas station in Allen Park. Witnesses say this man allegedly entered the gas station holding a knife while running from either the police or from somebody. He did allow employees and any customers within the store to get out. He wasn't trying to hold anyone hostage, but he did barricade himself in there for quite a long time, initiated this standoff. Officials from Allen Park, Lincoln Park, Southgate, and Michigan State Police arrived at the scene to start negotiating with this man. A SWAT team was finally eventually able to get this man out successfully after a five-hour standoff. Two Michigan men are going to prison after selling drugs that killed at least seven people in 2023. 42-year-old James Smith of Kalamazoo received a 20-year prison sentence, and 27-year-old Patrick Martin, also from Kalamazoo, was sentenced to 4 years. Authorities say these men thought they were selling cocaine, but it was really a substance that contained fentanyl. And investigators were able to trace the substance back to these guys, and now they're going to be spending a long time behind bars. You may remember last week we talked about that body that was pulled from the Clinton River.
Yeah.
Well, it has been identified as a 59-year-old East Point man. His body was discovered like amongst the debris under the Gratiot Avenue Bridge last Thursday. Medical examiners say that the cause of this man's death was drowning, and nothing suspicious was found during the investigation.
That's too bad.
Yeah, very sad. Congratulations is in order to Haley Steinfeld and Josh Allen. They tied the knot over the weekend.
Good for them.
The pictures look beautiful. It looked like a beautiful venue in California. Got married on Saturday. The two started dating in 2023, made the relationship, you know,
official
to the public after about a year of speculation. And then they got engaged in November of 2024.
So the wedding was Bridezilla approved? The photos
from what
good?
I could see. Okay. I mean, how could it not be? I mean,
just asking, you're very particular.
They're both beautiful people. They've got money to spend on a beautiful venue. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't see everything because it wasn't.
Hopefully he spent so much time helping plan the wedding that he will have been distracted this offseason.
Maybe
so. I think it works that way, but sure, we can hope.
Finally, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, you'll be happy to hear that season 5 will debut on Netflix November 26th. The season will be split into 3 volumes, with the second part launching at Christmas of 2025 and the finale launching on New Year's Eve. This is going to be the last season of the show.
So they're doing a split release.
Yes.
And they're going to be like on the holidays.
Yes.
I'm sure you love that. That's something to watch on the holidays.
Well, I've never watched an episode of Stranger Things.
I just mean more people trying to take over your holidays,
so
Heather.
I was going to say, I couldn't care less that it's airing on Christmas, but yes, I don't like it.
Well, at least you'll be able to watch NFL football on Christmas.
I know.
Not have to worry about it.
Sweet.
It's Heather with the news. All right, we'll talk Tarek Skubal, 90 pitch. He's pulled after 90 pitches on Saturday. People have thoughts on that, reactions to that. And the Tale of Two Restaurants, it's 97.1.
Hey, at First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and strong relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me and my family over the years and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. Visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Tarek Skubal doing what he does, cruising, shutting people down, had retired 7 straight batters before A.J. Hinch pulled him at 90 pitches in a tie game. Get to it at 8:50. People have thoughts on it. We did some research. I don't know how it impacts your view of an extension for Tarek Skubal. John, you asked how my weekend was.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Restaurants. Tale of Two Restaurants. I went to one restaurant that we loved, and I went to one that I'm convinced is going to be closed, like, any minute.
Uh-huh. Are you naming names?
I'm not going to name names. That's not fair to the restaurants. But Friday, Heather, we were talking off air. Hey, I was going to go out to dinner with Kelsey. You were going to go with Colin. We both had noted we didn't have reservations.
Yeah. So where
so
are we going to go?
Where are we gonna, how am I going to find a place? Well, it's probably a red flag if a place is just wide open on a Friday at 5:30. It's a little early.
It's a little early.
But wide open.
Yeah.
Was there a bar at this restaurant? Were there people having cocktails or happy hour?
One or two tables. We went out to the patio, which was empty, and we were seated out there.
It was a decent day, Friday, too. It got a little, maybe rainy or, cooler later in the night.
But we sit down, we eat, and whatever. Afterwards, I said something to Kelsey. I go, that place isn't going to make it. And she goes, you're absolutely right. So then we started unpacking everything else. Pricey. With small portions.
Oh, I'm out.
The combo is a tough pill to swallow. They brought out a happy hour menu. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, great. We're going to get some discounted cocktails. It was just a list of featured cocktails, not discounted at all. It was a $17 cocktail was the featured cocktail on the happy hour menu. I go, okay, this is not off to
umbrella included?
Yeah, really. I go, okay. I got a steak. And, wasn't cooked right.
Okay, so
it wasn't cooked to order.
First off, you ordered a steak.
Yes.
What was the steak?
I get it medium.
I didn't ask the temperature.
No.
I said, what's the steak?
John, it wasn't a steakhouse. It was one steak, and it was over a bed of vegetables. It wouldn't have been your kind of steak.
Okay. Was it a filet? Was it a ribeye?
They didn't even specify.
Oh, what? They always specify. Even the worst restaurants specify.
Yeah.
This listen, is did not say, did not say sirloin. Yeah, it did not say strip. Sirloin. Did not say ribeye.
Just said steak.
No.
Steak and veggies.
I'm not ordering a steak unless I know what it is, if I see the cost next to it.
Look, I didn't eat lunch that day. I slept for lunch. I was very hungry. So I didn't even send it back. I just said, fine, I'm going to eat the steak. I ordered it medium. It was definitely medium well. I did not want it to be medium well, but I ate it. The only good thing was the dessert, which I don't think is a good sign if your restaurant only does dessert well.
No, because it limits what you're going to go there for. You may go eat somewhere else and be like, yeah, let's go over to this place for dessert.
Yeah, I just call that place Dairy Queen.
Right.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just felt like there's no way this place is going to make it. If on a Friday night,
is it
you
brand
are
new?
Wide open, relatively new, yeah.
Maybe people don't know a lot about it. Did you look at reviews? Does it have bad reviews online?
Didn't have bad reviews.
Did it have reviews?
I didn't look.
So
because that's a sign that maybe
you don't know if it had bad reviews.
I suppose it could have had bad reviews. I looked up the menu. I didn't look at the Yelp or the Google.
So how did you make the reservation? Did you call them or did you use an app?
No, so it's funny. Tom actually witnesses post show. I'm texting Kelsey. I go, what do you want to do? We need reservations. She goes, I booked them for this place.
Oh.
So no discussion. This is where we're going. Okay, I'll give it a shot. It's a new place. But I told you, I go, I don't know about this menu. I was talking to you, Tom, before I left. I go, I don't know about this menu.
Because you're the guy who looks at the menu before you go to a restaurant, which I don't do.
Yes. And your wife said, this is where you're going to eat.
I didn't mind. I go, we'll give it a try. It's something new. It's something different.
Yeah, I think at this point, we need to just let you determine where you guys go eat from now on.
I think so.
Based on
yeah.
Why, yeah. Like when you have questions about a menu beforehand.
Yeah.
That's absolute no at that point. Like, did you say anything
ahead of time? No, because I figured I'd get the steak. I mean, there's always something.
Yeah, but
you
don't even know what
the
steak is, and it's on a bed of greens. It's the steak salad.
Yeah, that's just horrible.
So the moral of the story is lots of red flags.
Red flag. First red flag is it's a Friday night in the springtime slash almost summer when people are getting out of their caves. And enjoying a little sunlight, enjoying not having to wear their winter parka. And if it is a place on a Friday night, now, was it off the beaten path or was it in a...
This is in a city where there would be lots of foot traffic.
And you said outside.
Restaurants...
It was chilly Friday night, though.
Restaurants one or two doors over could not get a reservation anytime between 5 and 9. So same area where other restaurants are packing them in on a Friday night, same weather... Packing them in, can't get a reservation. Yeah. We picked the place you can get a reservation, red flag. You sit down, you're paying $17 for a cocktail, your portions are tiny, your steak's not cooked properly. Tick, 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 tick.
How was the service?
Good.
Okay. Check one for
Did you tip
pros,
well
I guess.
On that steak that you got under or overcooked?
I tipped the normal amount, 20%. I didn't get anything extra.
So I think the first red flag is obviously, are there tables open at a... I wouldn't say 5:30 is prime time. You're probably going there, and if you are able to get into a restaurant anytime between the hour of 4:30 to 5:30, it's either going to be a whole lot of blue hairs or it's people with kids, which I would think in knowing you, It's probably not the crowd that you want to associate with.
No.
Think
loud,
about it.
Loud children screaming children at the restaurant. I can't control it, but preference would be probably not.
So for where I'm at in my life and the kids, obviously with Teddy and Lisa, there's a lot of times where we'll drop one off at a practice or a game or some type of school team event. And we will at that time be looking for a restaurant to go to. No foresight, no nothing. Just, hey, where can we get in? I actually texted you a couple of weeks ago. I said, hey, we're thinking about going to this place. You know, what are you thinking about it? Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, it wasn't a ringing endorsement.
It was, it's fine.
Yeah, but it was, I've been there. I haven't been there in a while. The red flag for me when I go and I sit down is, first of all, is there any wait or is there anybody in the restaurant? Mm-hmm. In this case, it was right around 5:30. There was almost no one there. And so the red flag goes off that, okay, this is not a place that people really want to go eat. Maybe it's a drink place. Maybe it's a dessert place. Maybe it's a bar that doesn't get rocking and rolling until 10 o'clock and the menu is bad. We sat down and like I said, there was no one there. The lady who sat us obviously gives us the menus. Mm-hmm. It was 20 minutes with no one there before anybody came to the table to say, would you like something other than water? And that to me was a red flag. We stayed because we were waiting for Elliot this time to be done with something and should have known right off the bat that, okay, this is not it. And finally somebody comes. Teddy is hangry. I'm even more hangry. It just was a bad experience. If no one comes to your table within the first 10 minutes, normally I'm a let's get up and find somewhere else to go. Because that to me is a red flag. Like if you can't even provide good service,
what else
you don't even get to the food.
Yep. Restaurant red flags, 248-539-9797. I said it was a tale of two restaurants. Place we went on Sunday for brunch, new place, just opened up springtime. Phenomenal. Priced great, big portions, very happy with it.
So I have a big red flag. It's when there's open tables and there's people waiting.
Oh.
Because that tells me about how you manage a restaurant and you don't have the staff. People want this food. They're willing to wait for it when there's multiple open tables sitting there. Yeah. And you saw some of that during COVID, and I think there was a decent excuse for that just because of the landscape of you know, the workplace at that time. But that means people don't want to work for you. Like, if you have the business and you can't have the employees, then you're either managing it wrong or you're not taking care of them the way they should. Like, I know of there's a restaurant downriver that's always, since I've known about it and moved down that way with Kelly, that is always vibrant, always has people waiting, and the employees all seem very happy. So they're doing they're taking care of their employees, and they're managing it well. Mm-hmm.
Some early ticket text. Red flag is ordering a steak medium. Yeah. Signed, John.
Yeah, that's a you red flag.
You order the steak or how you
even,
want to eat
not
it.
Not even knowing what, like that, that's the, whether you,
I did,
you
I just,
can
I
order
checked
it however
the menu.
You want.
I just double checked the menu. It's a sirloin steak, John. Okay. It's a sirloin steak.
The fact that you didn't even know that.
Says who orders a steak medium, Costa's the worst. How are you guys ordering your steaks?
Rare.
Bleeding? You?
Thank
well, no,
you for
I
answering
don't,
so
but
quickly, Heather.
I know what my husband would order.
Yes, rare.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want it mooing. I also don't want it burned to a crisp, charred, and dried. Medium's a nice compromise.
Mm-hmm. It's halfway to batter's glove.
But don't you know the restaurant trick? They always cook it one level up.
Well, it depends on the place. Like, some places cheat it the one way or another.
Because they want to be safe not to get the whole...
So,
whatever,
when we went for our anniversary, we went to a place, and I asked for a rare steak. And the guy actually said, I don't know if we can do rare. It might have to be medium rare. And I said, well... check with the kitchen, because if it doesn't come rare, I will send it back.
Really?
And he came back and he said, you assured me, yes, it will be rare. And when it came out, it was perfect.
That was a rookie mistake. A new place and ordering it what you wanted it as instead of going...
So I should have ordered it what?
Medium rare.
Medium rare. And that way, if it comes a little bit too red, you could say, hey, could you throw this back on the grill for a half a second?
Rookie.
Yeah.
Rookie for assuming they'd cook the steak the way you ordered it.
Didn't know... what the steak was,
how am
still
I
ordered
taking
it.
More arrows than the restaurant. How did that?
Things usually happen like that around here. Don't you realize that?
Anyway,
rookie.
I would like your restaurant red flags, not Jim Costa red flags. We'll get to Tarek Skubal next, 97.1.
Hey, the NBA playoffs are still rocking and rolling. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting the over consistently or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double? Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's getting hot. Once the game starts, that's when things can really get interesting. You can combine your live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win something big. And if you don't already have a FanDuel account, it's not too late to get in on all the action. You're going to get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. And make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We'll get to the Tarek Skubal question. 90 pitches pulled in a tie game where he was cruising. Does it impact the way you view an extension? Want to get phone calls and ticket texts on restaurant red flags. I went to a place on Friday night, and I thought, they're not going to make it. Got there on a Friday night. They had a bunch of tables. Red flag in an area where you need a reservation. That's kind of the public telling you, we're not beating down the door to get a seat at this place. Then we sit down. It's happy hour, right? Because it's still within that window, 5:30. And I'm thinking, well, happy hour, at most places, you get half off apps and drinks. Their happy hour drink menu was 25% off wine, a $17 cocktail, and a $10 mocktail. That's happy hour. Red flag.
Mm-hmm.
You order your food. John, it was a sirloin steak. But it's not cooked the way you want. And it's not portioned well for the price. I mean, they have a $24 burger on the menu. So if I'm getting small portions, premium prices, nobody's breaking down the door to get in this place, I don't know that you're going to last. Restaurant red flags, 248-539-9797. And the ultimate red flag, we were hungry when we left the restaurant. You go out to dinner on a Friday night, you should not be hungry when you're leaving the restaurant.
No. I mean, they should at least load you up on bread.
And to pay for the bread, John. Is that a red flag?
Yes. I'm out.
Was it like fancy bread?
Oh, yeah. It was like they did like shaved cheese on top of garlic bread and all this stuff. But still, John, it floors you that you'd pay for bread?
Yes. That should be something that if you sit down, they just put in front of you bread and a slab of butter.
There's a ton of like Mexican restaurants where you have to pay for chips and salsa.
Out. I'm out.
Restaurant red flags.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Heather, you're thinking.
We paid for bread on Friday.
It's more common now.
And we skipped the app. That was our app.
Yeah. Well, that was our app, this garlic bread.
We do have a suggestion for a new segment. Oh, be a one-off.
Oh, boy.
Time for a new segment. What cut of meat is it? And it's where I just show you a picture of a random steak, and you have to say what cut of meat it is.
Show me a picture.
I was actually looking for that, but they all have
what
like
animal
the name
it came
on
from.
It.
Yeah. If well, you showed me a piece of meat.
This might be one that
I
need
would
to
have
prepare.
No idea.
Ahead of time?
I might prepare ahead of time.
I could tell you what a ribeye looks like from getting a ribeye at the butcher shop. I could tell you what a New York strip looks like. I could tell you what a lot of a tenderloin looks like.
Just,
I do better at this
looking
than you
at
think.
The picture.
Yes,
okay.
I think all I do right. a lot better well, than people realize at this.
We'll see.
Costa can't order a steak correctly, doesn't wash his feet, drives a fake car. He's a walking red flag, James in Toledo. Again, the assignment was restaurant red flags, not Jim Costa red flags.
So, I mean, that might be the flag that he's actually flying from his car now.
A red wing, red flag?
It's a red ring, red flag.
Hey, so real quick, how about this one? Are you guys shrimp eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I order shrimp and they're not big shrimp, that's a huge red flag.
Like they're little baby.
Yeah.
It depends on the appetizer.
Skimpy on shrimp.
If it's a shrimp cocktail, then the shrimp are supposed to be big. But if it's sauteed in like a little tempura with a little spicy sauce on it, then it comes down to the amount of shrimp that you get.
See, I think like if you're going to get like fried shrimp and then it comes and there's 18 of the small ones. No, they need to be the big six
jumbo.
Or 12 of the jumbos, beer battered. Big red flag if you don't do that.
Let's get to Hunter and Wayne. Hunter, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, guys, so when you can sit at your dinner thinking you're enjoying it peacefully, but you hear the owner of the establishment yelling at the staff about how they're not managing the floor properly, and there's nothing going wrong. Like managing the floor properly could be when he walks by and readjusts your drink at your own seat because he doesn't like it where you're sitting at. It's weird, off-putting.
Belittling your staff, micromanaging your staff, red flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah, another red flag
Thanks, Hunter.
When you have, like, there's a fine line between, like, dishes that need to be cleared versus dishes that you're still planning to eat a little bit off of. When they come and they instantly just start grabbing dishes, like, that to me is a bit of a red flag because the kids may have not finished their, you know, they may not be a part of the clean plate club. Doesn't mean that plate still can't be cleaned.
Pros and cons, because it is nice to have some of your plates cleared away that you're not sitting in front of, you know.
Sure.
So I guess maybe an ask, hey, are you finished with that?
Yes, that's all
before
I'm looking for. Yes,
they grab
then
the
I could
plate.
Say, no, I'm still working on that.
Ethan in Garden City, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, my red flag is like when you have to seat yourself at restaurants, you know?
You know, like the freedom of being able to choose your table?
Yeah, like I'd rather like have a waiter come up, you know, give me my seat, you know? Instead of like having to get it myself, you know, I just feel like it's good service.
The good thing about that is then they know you're seated and then you get your service promptly.
Right.
If you seat yourself, they might not see you and you may be waiting a little longer. I could get that part of it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me to seat myself.
No, but I can see maybe it's more an elevated experience when somebody's taking you. I don't mind picking my own seat because sometimes they actually ask the hostess, hey, you know what? I don't want a tall top or a high top because a booth with kids to me is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind picking my own seat.
A booth?
A booth with kids is a nightmare.
Oh no!
Yes,
you put the kids in the inside and you sit
because
there.
It's
you
fun
lock
to
them.
In. They want to stand up on it and bounce on it. It's all padded. No, you want a chair they can't move in.
Oh yes, but then they're getting up all the time.
No, not mine.
Oh,
they stay.
I like to lock Teddy in.
Says there's a restaurant in Rochester Hills that charges for butter. Red flag.
Oh, yeah. Charge for butter.
Wow. What's the charge?
Yeah, how much is it? 50 cents? Like, what's butter running?
I don't know. I've never even heard of that.
Restaurant red flag, huge menus. If they make everything, they don't make anything well. Signed, Chris.
That's true. I like that one.
I disagree. You go to the Cheesecake Factory. They've got a huge menu.
It's true.
Even before you get to dessert. And I have never had a bad meal. I like having options.
Okay. Red flag is ordering a burger. They don't ask you how you want it cooked.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's an obvious one.
I got one.
Yeah.
Speaking of the burger cooked, we went to a restaurant once and Colin ordered a burger, wanted to order how it was cooked, and she wouldn't take the medium rare, whatever his order was.
Yeah.
She said, pink or no pink? That was a huge red flag, and we almost left. Colin's like, what am I going to get? Is it going to be pink, or is it not going to be pink?
Yeah.
What is
pink.
It?
You're not going to want it
well
done.
Some places, especially
that was the only option, pink
when ordering
or no pink.
A burger, will not let you order it rare. And I've had that happen where I'm like, I'm going to need some extra time because I'm not ordering this.
Yeah.
Any ketchup other than Heinz is a red flag. Brian in Grosse Pointe.
Heather, you're our ketchup expert.
Yeah, but you never really know what's inside of that Heinz ketchup bottle.
Oh,
it could be fancy ketchup. Sure, you don't know what's in there.
It's an illusion.
Yeah.
Test first.
Dan in Auburn Hills, what's up?
I just wanted to do my experience was I'd ordered a steak medium rare, like a king, and they brought it out medium well, so I tried to send it back, get a new one. And then the server tried to explain to me how a pink steak was medium rare, which is actually incorrect because a pink steak is medium well. And then she had also first come up to this table and said she wanted to make sure how I knew that I knew how they did things there, like I didn't belong in her midst. So that was my experience.
Yeah.
Oh, an arrogant server. Yes.
Well, when you really think about it, this is the proper way to eat the food. No, I ordered it a certain way.
Customer's always right.
Chris in Ypsilanti, what's up? You're on 97.1.
Hey, my red flag is underdeveloped drink programs. So I'm a huge cocktail snob. Like, it was like our COVID hobby. And whenever we go to a nice restaurant, the first thing my wife and I are doing is we're going through the cocktail menu and we're looking for things that are interesting. And if all I'm seeing are like flavored margaritas and espresso martinis, red flag. If they aren't using freshly squeezed citrus and they're still charging $15 for that daiquiri, red flag. If I have to teach you, the bartender, how to make a classic cocktail like a Manhattan, then red flag. And if they're not thinking about their drink programs, they're probably not thinking about their food program. So I'm probably not going to stay very long.
It's got a very thorough process here. Mm. Vetting through the drink menu.
Yeah.
Texter says, Heather is an amateur. Kids in the booth is a gold mine.
Yes. Not my kids.
Hey, Heather, how about you control your kids in the restaurant?
I do. That's why I don't sit in a booth. They sit perfectly still in a chair.
Agree with John. If I have kids, we will wait for a booth. Block them in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, never.
Mm-hmm.
Micromanaging your staff, you say. That's a good transition to this Hinch-Scoobel pitch management conversation. Well done, Ticket Texter. That's next, 97.1.